Black Ice, baby. Now, well, listen, if you'd give me your swag, I'd wear it. That's all I can say.
Kevin, take it!
We'll get it afterwards, okay? We'll get it afterwards. Thank you, though, very, very much. Hey, we've been talking about the King of Hearts, and, you know, we want Jesus to be the King of our heart. And I'm thinking about this, and it's like, all right, during my day-to-day, how do I know that He is truly the King of my heart? Do you think God leaves us hanging, or does He give us a way to figure that out? I think He gives us a way to figure it out, okay? And that's what I want to talk to you guys about this morning. It all has to do with peace, and the peace of God that we are experiencing in our lives. Now, Jesus, back in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible calls Him the Prince of, can anybody finish it? Prince of
peace.
He's the Prince of Peace. Now, if I have the Prince of Peace reigning in my heart, what do you think I ought to be experiencing? Peace. Okay? Now, what I want us to do is we go through these verses and take a look at this. I want us to pay real close attention to exactly what the words are saying. I know in this church, you guys believe that God puts every word in the Bible exactly as He wants it to read. It's perfect. Everyone is giving us exact detail. And these verses that we're going to look at this morning, they're probably all familiar to all of us, all right? But I want us to see exactly what they're saying. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You so much for everything You've been doing in this camp this week. Lord, thank You for the lives that are being changed. Thank You so much for speaking to us through Your word. And Lord, as we look into it this morning, most important thing You want us to experience is Your peace. You want us to experience it all day long. That needs to be our normal, Lord. And I pray that as we look at these words this morning, that we will see that, and that will become the reality in our life. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles, do this for me. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Look at what this says. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then he goes on to say, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now think about what that first one is saying, right? He's saying, put on charity. Does anybody remember, or does anybody know what charity is? We haven't talked about charity yet. Yeah. What's charity? Yes, sir. Amen. Helping people that need help. And if you're doing this, do you expect anything in return?
No.
No, you don't. Okay, charity is, I am so much filled up with love that I got love to give to somebody else. And so I will give them that love, and I don't expect anything in return, right? Remember this thing from yesterday? I'm in God's love when I get saved. I am right in the middle of it. Nothing can separate me out. And when that starts really becoming real to me in my life, I got so much to give to anybody. I don't need anything in return. Dude, I got all I need right here. I got all I need. Notice what he also says about charity. It's the bond of what?
Perfectness.
Perfectness. What did we learn about love yesterday? Love can be perfect, right? And if I have perfect love, what does that do? It casts out fear. I can't have fear and love at the same time. I either got love or I got fear. It's like a light switch. He calls charity the bond of perfectness. It's like that love is so real in my life. You know what? I'm behaving perfectly. I'm behaving just like Jesus does. Now, look at what these words say. He says here, let the peace of God do what? Rule in my hearts. God's peace is so crazy that it has the ability to actually rule in my heart. It can be, it wants to be in control. It wants to be reigning on the inside of me. And if you will, keeping me on track. His peace. His peace. Look, now, let me stop right here. And let me say something or say a couple things. I don't want you to think that right now I am starting down the road that we're going to follow the trend that I should listen to my feelings, right? Everybody in this world, it seems like now, is listening to their feelings. And if it feels like it's too tough and too hard, what am I going to do? I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. I'm not going down this track, okay? I'm really, really not. I truly believe that, you know what? We follow what God's words say regardless of what our feelings are. That makes sense to you? If the book says it, I will do anything, anytime, anywhere. I don't really care how I feel about it. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm really, really not. All right? What I am talking about is that if I'm looking at the Bible, well, let me say it this way. If I'm looking at the Bible, all right, and it scares me what God is asking me to do, and it feels like I don't have peace on the inside, and so I'm not going to do what God asks me to do so that I can get rid of that uneasy feeling, that's not the peace we're talking about. It's something different. It's something different. Convenience. That's going to be too hard. I really just want to stay inside and play my video game. All right? I don't really want to do what God's asking me to do. That's not maintaining God's peace. That's not God's peace ruling in our heart. That's convenience. This is something different. What I'm talking about here is God is going to tell me to do something, and I start doing it. I shouldn't be stressed out when I'm doing that, okay? I shouldn't experience anxiety. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, I shouldn't feel like I'm depressed. That's what I'm talking about. I shouldn't, you know, it's time for me to go disciple somebody, and I'm just, I don't want to do this. Or I'm in the middle of it. Man, I wish this would just hurry up and get over with. That's not peace. That's not peace. Something's wrong, all right? That's what I'm talking about. It's that type of thing. When I am in the middle of doing, serving Jesus Christ, I ought to have this crazy peace going on the inside of me. I ought to. And if it's not, I just enduring and can't wait for it to get over, but you know I need to do this because it's the right thing to do. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Okay? That's the peace that we're talking about. So, look at this next one. So hang with me. I'll explain it all. All right? And hopefully it will make sense by the time that we're all done. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Look at what that says. Look real close at the words. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. This peace that we're describing, you can't make sense of it. It does not make sense. I got saved 47 years ago. Long time. 1979. August 3rd, 1979. My life was a total wreck. It was. I was not the kind of guy you would ever want to get to know. I didn't have a lot of friends. I couldn't keep friends because I was so selfish. I would drink like that close to becoming an alcoholic. My parents didn't get along with my parents at all. Matter of fact, I would go to school, work right after I got home from school until 10 o'clock at night so I could come home so I wouldn't have to interact with my parents. I had problems. I had problems. When I got to college, I would work all day long, man. And on the weekends, I would just drive so I wouldn't have to be in the house. And I was so empty on the inside and so hurting. And on August 3rd, 1979, he saved me. He saved me. And I can't... The feeling that I had of peace, I had never experienced anything like that in my life. I mean, I was so afraid. I knew little snippets about the Bible. I knew what the Bible said, you know, about the end times. And there was all this trouble in the Mideast, and I thought it was the end times, and I thought the world's going to end, and what's going to happen to me? I had all this anxiety on the inside, not being able to keep relationships together. What am I going to do with this bottle? You know, all this type of stuff. And when I got up off of my knees from asking him to save me, I was different. I had this peace that was otherworldly. You couldn't describe it. And nothing had changed. I've still got to go home and face my dad. I've still, all this stuff is going on in the minute. You know, but for the first time in my life, it's like somebody said, I got you. I got you. And it changed me. It changed me. Some of you guys maybe experienced that last night. Some of you have experienced that in other times of your life. That's the peace that passes all understanding. Even though everything's a mess, you've got that peace and you can't even explain it. I shouldn't be feeling this way right now. Right now. That's the peace he's describing. That's God's peace. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Look at this. Shall keep your hearts and minds. It's going to keep them in check. It's like, anybody ever go bowling? Anybody ever do it with the rails up? Oh, yeah. Bumper bowling. I like bumper bowling, all right? Because no matter how I throw that ball down, those rails keep it on track. That's the way he's describing peace. It keeps our heart and our mind on track. Now watch this. Well, I got a weird way of looking at things. I do. I admit it. My brain's wired a little bit differently. I look at this and it reminds me of a gauge on a car, the gas tank gauge, right? And so when I think about this and how this works, I call this the peace gauge. My life is either filled up with peace, God's peace that passes understanding, or it's bleeding off. The tank's getting emptier and emptier and emptier. All right? And that's the way I want us to think about it. Think about it this way. Let's just try this, all right? I've been at camp all week long. All summer, I'm riding the high from camp. I go back to school, and you know what? I'm walking through the halls of school. I've been praying about this. I can't wait to see my friends. It's like... Son of God in the house, right here. How you doing, buddy? It's good seeing you. Did you have a great summer? Yeah, how you doing over here? Did you have a great summer? And you know what? That tank is full because you're walking into school with a purpose, right? And you've got that peace. You're ready for God to use your life, and you are into it. You're into it. But then you see some friends, right? And they're looking at you like, dude, what's your problem? Why are you so happy? And you can tell they're not quite cool with you, right? And so now I start, well, I want them to be cool with me. And so now I start doing things that I shouldn't be doing to make them think that I'm cool and to appear cool to them, right? Now when I start doing that, guess what happens to my peace meter? It goes to empty. Because now I'm worried about what people think about me, right? And as I'm walking through school, now I'm paying attention to how everybody looks at me. Now I'm thinking about, what are they thinking about me? Look at that face that they just looked at me with. They think I'm crazy. Am I crazy? What, you know? And I start going through all this, and then you know what? I realize that peace that was going on in the inside, it's gone. It's gone. Now, that peace is supposed to keep my heart and my mind. It's supposed to reign over me. So you know what I do? wait a minute, what is going on here? God, why? Where did that peace go? What happened? What happened? I know what happened. I started thinking about, caring about what people think of me. Oh, God, how can I? I'm sorry, Lord, I made that mistake. Man, I shouldn't be. All I should be caring about is what they think of you. I know what you think about me. This is what you think about me. Let me get back to that. Let me get back to that thing. And okay, now guess what happens in my peace meter? It goes back up again. It goes back up again. And so now I can walk through the halls and do all this kind of stuff. But then you know what? I see Gertrude in the hallway. Gertrude. Gertrude always picks me apart. And Gertrude's there with her posse of people. And Gertrude looks at me and says, well, you know, that was a nice attempt at getting dressed for the first day of school, wasn't it? Oh, excuse me. And that's what it does. It gets me so upset, it knocks my glasses off my face. And I'm thinking in my heart, oh, Gertrude, you're always my nemesis. God, I hope Gertrude comes to school tomorrow with zits like mountains on her face. Just plague her with zits, Lord. Take her down. Take her down. What happens to my peace meter? It goes back down again, doesn't it? God's peace left. And then I'm going through the hall and I'm trying to do my work and concentrate Gertrude zits instead of taking notes from the teacher. I'm drawing pictures of her with just mountains on. And then I'm like, what is going on the inside of me? What happened to that peace? Where is that peace? And God brings it back to my, well, you were upset about Gertrude talking about your clothes. Gertrude got me off track, Lord. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. Gertrude's not even saved. Gertrude's doing what lost Gertrudes can do. All they do is make fun of people to try to make themselves feel better. You've got me in this. I don't care what Gertrude thinks about me. You know what? I'm sorry for praying that she gets it. Lord, she needs to get saved. Let me be the nicest person I can to her. Give me chances to witness to her so that she can get saved. What happens to my peace meter when I do that? It goes back up again. You see how the thing works? I'm supposed to experience God's peace all the time. All the time. All the time. Now, I want to show you how it works. All right? That's kind of how it works, but I want to show you some other scriptures so that you can see it, because you know what? Everything about what we're supposed to be experiencing, Jesus died so that we could have peace and so that peace would never leave us, all right? John chapter 14. This is the place that we talked about when we saw that, you know, I and my Father, ye and me, and I and you. Same passage, just a couple of verses later. This is when Jesus is going away, and he's trying to prepare his disciples to help him. He says this in verse 26, John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That's a really cool passage, because he says, you know what? I'm going away, but I'm going to give you something that is going to be able to comfort you. How many people like to be comfortable? I'm with you. I'm with you, okay? I'm with you. We like to be comfortable. God wants us to be comfortable. And so he puts his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And what's cool about this is what he says about it, how he's going to help us be comfortable. I'm going to teach you everything that I have said. Everything that I have said. I've got it in this book. It's not going to make a lot of sense to you. But you know what? I'm going to put my Spirit on the inside of you so that everything makes sense. I will teach it to you. That's a cool thing that God will teach each one of us if we will read this and let him do it. All right? Then the other cool thing is that as I'm walking through life and Gertrude does her thing on me, he will bring verses back to my mind. He will remind me of what he said, so that I can start thinking those thoughts and get his peace and comfort back in my life. That's how it works. He puts his Holy Spirit on the inside of us to do that. That's a really cool thing. Look at verse 27, though. Look at what it says. Peace I leave with you. My peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. What you experience from me is something that you cannot get in this life. This world cannot give you anything that comes close to the peace that you will experience from Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. You can't make it. You can't produce it. All right? He's the only one that can do it because it's God's own peace. It's not mine. Now look at this. Let not your heart be troubled. Our heart. This is what we've been talking about. The King of Hearts, right? Why does he give me his peace? So that my heart never gets troubled about anything. He gives me his peace so that I'm never afraid of anything. Wow. God doesn't want you to be afraid. God wants you to realize that you're his and I've got you and you are in my love. You are in it. Nobody can take you out of it. He doesn't even want you to be troubled. Because if something is happening in your life like Gertrude, he split his fingers and he's allowing it to come in. And I'm going to learn more about his love and more about his relation, my relationship with him, because he's allowed that to happen to me. All right? He's like, trouble, fear, anxiety, depression, I didn't save you so that you would have to experience that anymore. I saved you so that you could experience peace. And you know what? That peace should be so overwhelming, I can tell whether I'm empty or full. That's what he's getting at. Now, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at what it says here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When God's Spirit is active in me, it produces that peace. Just like he says in John 14, right? The thing I want to show you here, against such there is what? No law. There's no law. There's no law that can keep it from happening, and there's no law that can make it happen. Now that's important. It's important that he put that right there, all right? Because God, now listen to me, and again, God is not about the rules. He's not about rules. God is about relationship. He's not about rules. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, he took all the rules of that Old Testament law, he fulfilled it and he nailed it to his cross. He uses the word, I abolished it. You see that there? He is our peace. Jesus is our peace. And he had to tear some things apart because they didn't work. They didn't work. I couldn't have a relationship with God trying to keep the law. Because you know what? Nobody could keep it. And I'm all the time, I failed again. Oh God, you know what? Oh, please forgive me. Let me kill some animals to make you happy again with me. Let me try and try and try. Oh no, I did it again. And you know what? They couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't keep it going. And so God says, dude, it did. Oh, thank you. I'm just going to. Gertrude keeps knocking these on my hand. We couldn't do it. So God says, you know what? I'm getting rid of it. I'm abolishing it. I'm abolishing it. I'm going to make things different, right? Because the law never gave me peace. Now hang with me. Hang with me. Because I know we've been talking about obedience all week, haven't we? We have been. And obedience is important. It truly, truly is. But it doesn't work. God is concerned about our relationship with him. He's concerned about the relationship. This is an awesome question. How does this thing work? All right? It works like this. If I am in the center of God's love and I know it, I know I'm right in here, then you know what? I realize I don't have to keep rules for God's approval. What I want to do, I just want to experience more and more of Him. I want my relationship with Him to get stronger and stronger and stronger. How many of you guys and you girls love losing? No? Nobody loves losing? You don't like getting out there and just... How many of you guys like to win? Okay. Here's what... Remember, on the very first day, we talked about this. God's got all kinds of commandments, if you will, in the New Testament. Do you remember why we said He put those commandments in there? So that we could have success. It's just like learning how to shoot a basketball, all right? And if I do that, I'm going to get success. God wants us to win. Now, if I start doing my own thing and turn my elbow this way and I start missing baskets, that's expected, right? I'm not keeping His commandments. If I'm drilling baskets and I'm making 30 free throws in a row without missing, I'm feeling pretty good, right? I got some peace going on here. If I turn my elbow here and I'm missing every shot, what happens to my peace meter? It goes down, right? Because I'm not obedient to what He's saying. Now, my motivation for obedience isn't to have Him pleased with me. It's not so that I'm shrinking around the place, oh God, don't hurt me because I would disobey it again. He's not going to do that. I'm here. The reason I want to keep those commandments and be obedient is the fact that I want to be able to make 40 in a row. I like this success thing. And if I start turning my elbow and doing this, of course my peace meter is going to be going down. I'm not doing what God's telling me to do. Make sense? Rules are important. Obedience is important. For our success, not for our relationship with God. There's a difference. God changes it. Look at what He says here. He writes these. This is the way that He wants us to look at obedience. Not keeping rules. He wants us to look at obedience as far as relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. All things? All things are lawful unto me? How can He say that? How can He say that? What did He do with the law? He got rid of it. So all things are lawful. You know why He did that? Because when He wrote the Bible, and the Bible got completely written, 2,000 years ago, there was no such thing as video games. There wasn't. There was no such thing as Netflix binging. It wasn't a deal back then. It wasn't a deal. The Bible doesn't talk about marijuana. Do you know that? It doesn't. Because the Bible doesn't talk about it, does that make it okay? He's saying, no, I'm not going to try to make a law for everything that's going to help you or hurt you in this life. I've got some of the big ones so that you can have success and you can experience it. But the rest of this stuff, I want you to look at it about relationship. And that's what this is saying. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. What's expedient mean? Anybody? Does anybody have Amazon? Does your parents or you buy? You guys buy things from Amazon? Yeah. Does anybody have Amazon Prime? Yeah. What's cool about Amazon Prime? It comes fast. That's what it means. Expedient. It comes fast. What's the quickest way to get there? That's what it means to be expedient. What's the quickest way to get there? God's saying, you know what? What I want you to think about with me is what you're about ready to do going to get you where you want to go? How is what you're going to do going to affect your peace with me? Is it going to help you become more like me? Is it going to help you or is it going to hurt you? Look at what else He says. He says it again. All things are lawful unto me. There's no law. He abolished it. But here's the way I want you to look at it. I will not be brought under the power of any. Is there power in your, video game? Is there power? I've known kids that, play that thing and it's like 1 or 2 in the morning. They've been playing it since, 1 or 2 in the afternoon. They haven't eaten anything. Their eyes are dribbling down here, and they're just like drying up and shriveling up. Does that have power?
No.
Well, it does have power because they're drying and shriveling up. It absolutely does. God says, you know what? Is there anything wrong with video games? No, all things are lawful unto you. But what kind of power is it having on me? That's what I need to ask. What power? Because if it starts bleeding off my peace meter and start affecting that, I don't want it to affect my peace with God. Make sense? It's all about relationship. Look at the next one. He repeats it. All things are lawful, not all things are expedient. Okay, you're saying the same thing. All things are lawful, not all things edify. Because I'm a priest, right? I'm supposed to be building people up. How am I going to build people up if I'm not being built up? If this thing is tearing me down and not making me stronger, it's hurting my relationship and it's hurting my peace. Make sense? God changes the rules completely. He changes it. Now look at this. I could put then on my peace meter, if I get to thinking about rules affecting my relationship with Christ, I'm in trouble. It will bleed it off because the rules, yeah, if I'm disobedient, it bleeds it off. But if he's more concerned with my relationship, and so when I look at keeping that thing full in peace, ruling in my heart, you know what he wants me to think of it as? Hey, is this the fastest way to get where you want to go with me? Is this going to rob you of my power and my peace? Is it going to make it bleed off? Is this something that's going to build you up and make you stronger, or is it something that's going to take you away? See how it works? Now look. We all know this verse, right? Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. When he wrote this and what he's talking about there, if you read that chapter, he's talking about keeping rules, whether I can eat this or drink that, whether I should eat this or drink that. He says, what I saved you to experience is not that. What I saved you to experience is not keeping the rules, but righteousness, remembering what I've done on the inside of you. And what? What's next? Righteousness, then what? Peace. Wow. God truly does want peace to rule on the inside of me. God truly does want his peace to be like the bumper bowling lanes for me. All right? That's what he's talking about there. The peace is the thing that does it. All right? Peace and God's peace in our life should be our normal. This is what I want you to take away. God's peace should be our normal. I'll put that one up there again. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall, it's a promise, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Walk away from this deal today realizing I got a peace meter. And I need to be paying attention to that peace meter, because that peace meter will tell me whether he's reigning in my life or not, whether the Prince of Peace is the most important thing in my heart or not. It's that peace. The thing that I experienced when I got saved, that should be with me all the time. Think back. Think back to when you asked Jesus to forgive you and save you. Remember the feeling. Do you remember that peace? Do you remember that? And then look at myself right now and say, do I have that peace? Do I have it? Am I experiencing that? Because if I'm not, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the way that I'm thinking. Something's wrong with the way that I'm doing things. God wants that peace with me all the time. All the time. Now notice at the very end of that thing, he gives us something else. I like to call this the thought filter. This is an 8-stage filter. I can dump any thought through this 8-stage filter, and if it's a thought I shouldn't be thinking, you know what? It gets clogged up in the filter to where at the bottom of this thing, all I've got is pure thoughts. It's really cool. We could try this with Gertrude, couldn't we? We could. Gertrude's making fun of the way that I dressed and what I chose to wear the first day of school. I want her to get zits all over the place. whatsoever things are true. Is that true? Yes, I do want her to have zits. I do. Whatsoever things are honest. Is that honest? Yeah, I honestly feel that. I want her to have zits. Is it just? Is it justified? Oh, wait a minute. Not really. What Gertrude needs is to get saved, not acne. It kind of stops my thought, doesn't it? I could keep going. Is it a pure thought? No, man. Jesus' thoughts towards me were pure. They were. You see how it clogs up all those bad thoughts? If I'm walking through this life, and I don't care whether you're a counselor, I don't care whether you're a camper, I don't care whether you're the preacher, this is something that I pay attention to. Where is that peace meter in my life? And if it's not squirting out and I'm feeling like I felt the day that I got saved, I go to the, what am I thinking right now? What is going on in my head? And is that thought lining up with God's word, or is this just some crazy rando thing that is going through me? And you know what? His peace brings my heart and my mind back where it needs to be. You see how that thing works? Where are you at this morning, man? Where are you at? Where are you at? Gave an invitation last night. And maybe you're here and you know what? You still haven't made that decision to trust him as your Savior. And that peace that I've been talking about, you don't even know what the heck it is. You don't know what the heck it is. You need to check that out. You do. Maybe you're here and you are saved. And that feeling that you felt, you haven't felt it since you got saved. Well, I got to think about what's going on there. Because that's not God's plan for my life. He didn't save me to have me miserable. He didn't have me save me to where I'm just cowering, you know, afraid of everything. And, you know, no, he saved me to where I'm walking through life. I got his peace, dude. And you can't touch this. I'm rooted and grounded in love. You can hit me with whatever, man. I'll bend, I'll flex. You can chop me off at the waist. I don't care. Dump a little water on me. I'm growing again. That's his plan for our lives. That's his plan for our lives. If I'm not experiencing it, you know what? I might just have my elbow turned a little bit. Or it might be I'm just thinking wonky thoughts that I need to throw through the filter. See how it works? Amen.